Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We believe, God, that our ears are anointed to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. God, I believe that our hearts are open to receive what the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. I thank you, Father, that we're making the decision in advance to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, I pray that distractions will be minimal today. I pray, Father God, that our eyes and our ears and our hearts will be open to receive. I pray, God, that we will listen intently. We will learn. We will grow. And Father, I thank you today that the Holy Spirit is in this place and he speaks through us today. He's the teacher of the church, not me. And I believe, God, that you're going to have your way and speak to us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said out loud, amen, amen, amen. As soon as I get this open here, forgive me. I've had this thing for years, but I still have a hard time opening it. There we go. There it is. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. God bless you, young people, as you go to your class this morning. Pray that you have a great time. Are you teaching, Carla? Good. Have a great class today. I appreciate all of those that are behind the scenes working. Every nursery. How'd you get out of the nursery today, dear?
I ran.
You ran. We never see Jennifer in church. She's our nursery coordinator, and sometimes there's such a shortage of help that she doesn't get an opportunity to be out here. But I'm so glad to see you, and I know Tracy is. And you know, when you guys come together like this, you sit on the second row. When you're not here, Tracy sits on the back row or on the couch. And so I'm glad you're here this morning. But I appreciate all the behind the scene workers. There are children in just about every room upstairs. Well, there are in every room just about upstairs. There's children being taught the Word of God. They're not just being babysat, but they are doing tremendous teaching. And I do want to say thank you, Edna Sue, for the class this morning. Today was our very first class and had great attendance. And some of your visitors weren't too sharp, but the ones that, those that you had come in, you know, like the church staff. But no, thank you guys. You did a great job. Thank you so much. So I want to talk to you this morning about framing your world by the Word of God. I'd like to see some people taking notes. Thank you, Teresa. It's good to see you taking notes. Do you know if you write something down, you're more apt to remember it much longer than if you just hear it with your mouth, I mean your ears. If you hear it, you will probably retain about 20 to 25%. But if you write it down, the percentage jumps quite high. So I'd encourage you to write it down. You say, well, I'll go home and listen to it on YouTube or something. That's fine, but you still need to write it down. Amen. I learned so much by writing down. Amen. Framing your world by the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
Thank you for your 100% participation. Let's try that one more time. Without faith, it is?
Impossible.
To please God. See, you can't go to sleep in this church. Without faith, it is?
Impossible.
To please God. And anyone who comes to Him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Now, I really believe that God downloaded some things in my heart this week for today. I believe this is an on-time word. It is a specific word, a rhema word for this congregation. He knew who was going to be here for this time, and I believe if we will listen, we're going to learn something today. God is a faith God. Now, that may go over your head, but it's really simple. If you want to please God, believe him. If you want to frustrate God, doubt him. If you want to believe God and you want to see God move, then we have to believe him. But you know, just because you own a Bible, just because there's a Bible on the dash of your car or on the nightstand next to your bed or the family Bible on the coffee table in your living room, that does not make you a believer. There's a lot of people that own a Bible, but they don't believe it. There's a lot of people that read the Bible, but they still don't believe it. And if you just read like you're reading a novel or a fiction book, listen, you're not going to get much out of it. But this is God's word to man. What a blessing. Owning a Bible doesn't change you. Amen. Owning a Bible won't change your life, but I'm telling you what, believing the Bible will transform you. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. So in Hebrews 11, let's go to verse number 1, and then we will read verse 3, Hebrews 11, verse 1, and verse 3. I'm going to try to slow down this morning so that I don't slur my words, all right? Let's go. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. We do not see. By faith, I see it. By faith, it's up there. Has nothing to do with faith in God. It's faith in Wesley. By faith, it's coming. Everybody shout, it's coming. I don't have to see it to believe it. Ah, see what faith does? Hey, we had that planned, didn't we, Wesley? No. Okay, where am I at? Let's start all over. What is faith? Verse 1. Okay, I don't have that particular translation, but it's going to say pretty close. Now faith is the confidence of things we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. That was an illustration just right there, how we don't see it. Okay, now here's verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now notice it says in verse 3, by faith we understand. Does that say that? Where's verse 3? Okay. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Everybody say, by faith,
by faith.
We understand. Say it one more time. By faith, we understand. We frame our world with the Word of God. Now, let me tell you what the word frame means, because that might mess you up. You might have a picture of what you think frame here is, but let me give you some of the Greek definitions of the word frame. To fit together, to equip, to arrange, adjust, or put in order. By faith, we understand that the worlds were arranged, adjusted, and put in order. The worlds, the heaven, the earth, the heavens, plural, and the earth were put in order by the Word of God. God stood and spoke in the middle of darkness, and he said, light be. That rhema word, that spoken word, created the light. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. And so when God articulated, he didn't think it. He didn't write it down. He spoke it. Read Genesis 1. And God what? Said. God said. There is creative power in our words. When we speak the Word of God, it will go into creating. And so when God articulated the word, light be, suddenly the darkness and the light became framed. They became organized. It wasn't chaotic. They became together. Are you listening to me? And so the word, the world was created and framed by the spoken word. But now listen to this. Not only was the world framed, but the world still responds to the spoken word. Think about it. The spoken word created this world, but how many knows the spoken word will still, that this world has to respond to the spoken word. For example, remember when Jesus spoke to the wind, spoke to the waves? Remember when Jesus spoke to the different elements and they bowed down, they obeyed him? It was the spoken word. Now go with me to Mark 11 for those that are skeptical this morning. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. We're going to back up everything we say by the Word of God. This is not Rhodes Theology 101. This is the Bible 101, okay? So Mark 11, 22 and 23. If you've been coming to Solid Rock for any time at all, you know this is one of my favorite passages of scriptures. It's something that was drilled into me in the late 70s, and I've not forgotten this. I live by this. I practice this. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. Actually, if you want to know the truth about it, the Greek says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Look it up. Greek it. You can Greek it yourself. You've got a Bible hub. Have the faith of God. What kind of faith does God have? God has the faith that when he says something, it will come to pass. Amen? God's not going to waste words, is he? He's not going to say something and nothing happens. He said, have the faith of God. The faith of God speaks and it creates. So he says, have the faith of God. I tell you, assuredly, this is Jesus speaking. I know you don't have the red letter in your Bible app, but it is Jesus speaking. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt but believe. Do not doubt but believe that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he saith. Now, I know there's been teachings that's taken this way over to right field, almost even into the ditch, okay? But I'm not going to throw away the baby with the bathwater, because there is some truth to this. It is truth. There's a whole lot of truth to this. And he says, whatsoever you say will be done. I'll qualify that. It has to be in line with the Word of God. You got to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. It's not just something that you dream up because you had pizza for dinner the night before, right? So my assignment for you this morning is I want to help us to see together. We're going to learn together this morning that we frame our worlds by the Word of God, and it's the spoken Word of God. It's not the meditated Word of God. It's not the thoughts of God. It's the spoken Word. Say spoken. There's a big difference in thinking the Word and speaking the Word. Jesus did not think like B. Huh? Nowhere does it say Jesus was thinking, well, maybe we ought to have some division between the water and the land. No, Jesus said. Now, that baby doesn't make me nervous, so y'all just don't worry about it. God said, and there was. Had God not said, there would not be. Is that all right? I know this is simple. This is simple, but you know why I'm teaching it? Because we don't believe it yet. We've got to be taught this and taught it and taught it until it gets down into our spirit, and finally the light bulb comes on and say, "Oh, now I see." So allow me to build this foundation. I'll be a little slow, but allow me to build the foundation. Matthew 6:33. Thank you, Wesley. No faith needed on that one. But seek first the kingdom of God. I want to talk to you about this scripture because this has been misunderstood so many times by good people. Seek first what? The kingdom of God, his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. The more I seek and learn about the kingdom of God, the less I have to pray about. Because the Bible says if I seek first the kingdom, I don't even have to ask for those things. He says they will be added unto me. Are you following? It doesn't say if you seek first the kingdom of God and then ask God for food, clothing, and shelter, it'll come. No, he says, you just seek me, seek my kingdom. And I want to talk to you about the kingdom here in just a moment. But you seek my kingdom and these things will be added unto you. You don't even ask for it. Come on now. Did I lose anybody? Just raise your hand if you feel half. No, don't. I don't have time this morning. So now listen, let me tell you what this means. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what it doesn't say first. And please don't think I'm being sacrilegious, because I'm not. It doesn't say seek the king. Hello. It doesn't say seek the king first. You know what it says? Seek the what? The kingdom. Now, let me tell you what the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is the order of God, the way God does things. Seek God's principles. Seek God's way of doing things. And you're already born again. God's living in your heart. You're full of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. You don't have to seek God more and more and more. He's in you. He's not lost. If you're seeking for something, then something must be lost, right? So you're not seeking the king, you're seeking or running after the principle, the alignment, the kingdom order, and then these things will be added unto you. The problem's not the things. The problem's not God. The problem is we're not seeking the kingdom order, or we're not doing things the way the kingdom has explained. How many knows there's laws in the kingdom of God? How many knows there's laws in America? How many knows there's laws in Europe? Do you know that different states have different laws? If you're a motorcycle rider and you got these real high handlebars and you drive through the state of Arizona, you're probably going to get stopped and pulled over for having high bars. Did I say it right? Bike riders, high bars, handlebars, what do you call them? Huh? Hangers? Ape hangers? Okay, ape hangers. I will not comment on that. So every state has different laws, and you abide by those laws, and when you abide by those laws, you probably won't get a ticket. Are you listening to me? Things will go smoother. You'll get through that state a little faster, okay? So the problem is alignment. The problem is the order. The problem is not God. The problem is not the things. The problem is, are we seeking first the kingdom? Are we seeking to line up with his kingdom order? So we're talking about God's way. What did I just read to you in Mark 11, 23? That if you will speak to that mountain, speak to that giant. Isn't that what David did? Did David not speak to the giant? Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. He didn't just go down there and just keep his mouth shut and throw the slingshot. He released his faith with the spoken word. I hope you're getting this morning. I'm about to do a Pentecostal shout up here. Woo! That would just shock some of you, wouldn't it? And embarrass the rest of y'all. If you don't know how God operates, you know, I read a long time ago, and I think it was Pat Robertson that wrote the book, The Upside Down Kingdom. And you know what? Why we call this the Upside Down Kingdom? Because the Bible says, give and it'll be given unto you. That's upside down, isn't it? Give and it'll come back to you. The world system says, give and you're going to have less. The Bible says, if your enemy slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one. I'm glad I don't tell you what to do after you turn the other cheek, though. Huh? So the Bible's, you know, teach everything in the kingdom is upside down to the natural world system. And so he says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the operation, how God operates. And then all these things will be added. But you know what? There's another scripture that talks about God multiplying to you. I mean, those multiplications a whole lot faster than adding. Huh? Okay, Psalms 84, 11. Wesley, you're there. Good for you. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I've got good news for you this morning. God is not holding out on you. God's not testing you or judging you. God's not waiting until you have a perfect life, because you're never going to be there, right? He said he's not holding out on us. He wants us to get in alignment with his SOP. How's that? Y'all know what SOP is, right? Okay. So Luke 16 and 8 says the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The people in the world understand how the world works. They know there's certain things that work in the world. But I want to tell you something. There's a kingdom principle. There's a kingdom system. You know where the Bible says, give us this day thy kingdom come, thy will be done? That's not talking about heaven. Some of you are looking at me like, where's this guy coming from this morning? When he says, what did I say he said? Yeah, thy kingdom come. The kingdom has already come. In fact, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within us. Y'all agree with that? Shout amen. The kingdom is within us. Are you keeping up with me? Okay. So I like that sir stuff. Woo. Makes me feel important. So the kingdom has already come. We are in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in us. So we need to operate like the kingdom operates, not the world. The world is the opposite of the kingdom. Amen. So there's principles. Thank you, Gary. There are principles and there are laws in the kingdom that works. And when you don't work them, then that works against you. Okay? So remember, when you were born again, how many knows the kingdom of God came into you? In fact, look at this chapter. Look at this verse. Book. Is it Colossians? Colossians chapter 3, chapter 1, 13. He has delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness, and he has translated us where? Come on, guys, you can read. He has translated us where? Into the kingdom. We're no longer in darkness. We're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. This is kingdom teaching this morning. The kingdom of God is within you. He has translated us into the kingdom. Now, how many knows my physical body is not in the kingdom of God? But my spirit man is connected, joined together with the kingdom of God. And when I operate with kingdom principles, I'm going to have what the Bible says I can have. I'm trying to help you today. You were removed. Notice it says you were delivered. You were translated. You were moved from the dominion of darkness. You were moved from the this world. And it's a different system. It's a different kingdom. It's a different, different lifestyle. So we've got to learn how that kingdom operates. And then when we do, we will be operating in God's way. So I believe God's wanting us to kind of maybe recalibrate our lives, realign our lives with his kingdom, not with the world system. And it's so easy to fall back into the world system because we live here every day. We walk and talk in the, you know, we walk in the flesh, but we're, you know, when we walk in the world, but we're not of the world. And so it's so many times this negative world creeps back in and cheats us out of those things that should be added unto us. Am I boring anybody?
No.
You know, people sometimes get so frustrated because they ask God for something on Sunday morning and it didn't come by the time church was over with, and they get mad at God. They get mad at God because they've been, I've been waiting. Well, you know what? When we operate in the kingdom principles, there may be a time that we have to wait, but we wait in faith, and faith says, I have it now. Faith doesn't say, you know, someday. No, faith says, I have it now. Okay. So God, I believe God's saying, let's recalibrate so that we can receive the things that he purchased for us through the cross of Calvary. Amen. Look at Psalm 68:19. I'm not giving you time to turn, but you can see it and write it down. Blessed be the Lord, Psalm 68:19, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Does the Bible tell the truth? So evidently I should be daily receiving benefits. You know, I know some people that went to work after retirement, not for the money, but for the what?
Benefits.
They needed the health insurance, or they needed something else, you know, or they wanted to build their social security up higher. But you know, he daily, it doesn't say if you're a good boy. You know what? He's not like Santa Claus looking for who's naughty or nice. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yes and amen. Everybody say yes and amen.
Yes and amen.
Can I tell you something? Amen doesn't mean it's the end of the prayer. Amen doesn't mean, okay, it's over, let's go home. You know what amen means? Say it, darling, real loud.
So be it.
So be it. That's where Putin's from, the Soviet Union. Boy, I'm fast this morning, aren't I? Man, I love the anointing of God. It just makes you say things. It means so be it, let it happen. There's two or three people in here. If you would smile, I'd probably shout around this church. You just got the biggest old frown on your face. Now, I'm not going to point you out because you know who you are, but I'd probably shout around this church. This is good stuff. All the promises of God are yes and let it happen. Yes and so be it. Not all the promises of God are yes and the end, right? Everybody say, so be it. Everything I pray for, everything I just prayed for, let it happen, Lord. Maybe we need to switch the word from amen to so be it or let it happen. Lord, bless this church in Jesus' name. Let it happen. I like that better than amen. Because amen almost seems like it's got a closing to it, doesn't it? That's the way we've defined it. Amen. Everything I pray for, let it happen. So be it. Did I say something wrong? Huh? Oh. And when I say, can I hear it? Amen. You all just say, let it happen. And there's power in an amen. There's power in that. It's not just an ending of a prayer. Amen. Sometimes a let it happen. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes the enemy shows up at our houses. You know, he shows up at my house just like he does your house. And, you know, he tries to make you think that you don't have a promise from God. You don't have a chance. You're such a failure. But I want to tell you something. You need to stand up in your living room and you need to get bold and you need to speak the word of God and you need to shout from the housetop. Listen, devil, all the promises, not some, not most, are in him. Yes. And so be it. Let it happen. Now, if you would do that, you might find yourself living a little more victory. This is good stuff. The promises of God. So be it. I'm going to start training myself. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Remember I said he daily loadeth us with benefits, Psalm 68? 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. It comes through the knowledge of him. It comes through operating in his kingdom principles. It comes through the knowledge of God's word and our lives lining up with that word of God who called us by his own glory and virtue, by whom he has granted to us his precious and exceedingly great promises. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now remember, Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, faith is the thing that we put our hope in and the assurance that the assurance about what we do not see. Everybody say hoped for. You know what that simply means? It means there's a promise. There's a promise that will create an expectation on the inside of me. These two scriptures that I just read ought to create a holy fire of expectation on the inside of us. Amen? Hope. Thank you. You're helping me. The earnest expectation of something good. Bill Johnson said this in his book. The moment expectation leaves, backsliding begins. Yeah, that's what I thought I'd get. A few hmms. When you don't expect anything, you become content. When you become content, you don't live by faith. You don't exercise faith. When you don't expect anything, you become complacent. Let me take it one more step. When you don't expect anything, you become cynical. And cynical of those that are expecting something. Remember what David said in Psalms chapter 27. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come on, put your hands together and give him a praise this morning. That scripture says, I would have fainted, but I had hope. And I was seen in the land of the living. I would have fainted had I not seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. So expectation believes something better is coming my way. Missy, I have great hope and faith that God is healing you. I believe that mountain is removed in Jesus' name. I believe that the rebuilding, the recreating of everything in your body that's not right has already begun. And I may not see it right now, but I'm telling you what, in my mind's eye and in my heart, I see it. My faith, my expectation will pull you out of anger. Your expectation will pull you out of disappointment. Huh? The distance between expectation and reality is the arena for disappointment and frustration. I'm going to read it again. The distance between expectation and reality is the arena for disappointment. I call it this, Living in the gap. I should have titled this, How to Live in the Gap. Because from expectation to reality, how many of those can be a big gap, right? How do we live in the gap? You ever heard of gap insurance? You know, if you owe too much on your car and you wreck it and you have gap insurance, it'll help cover the difference, gap insurance. Listen, we hope. Hope is what keeps us expecting. Is this okay today? The distance between expectation and reality is the arena for disappointment and frustration. Have you put that on Facebook yet? You're working on it, okay. You need me to say it again? The distance between expectation and reality is the arena for disappointment and frustration. Now, let me give you an example. Let me get a drink of water first. You need one? Okay. Let me give you an example between expectation and reality. My lovely wife, I call her from the office. I'll say, sweetheart, I'll be home at 5 o'clock. I'm going to leave the office at 5. I should be home by 10 after, 12 after, 15 after. And she says, all right, honey, I'm looking forward to our dinner and our evening tonight. How many knows the expectation begins to... So I head home at 5 o'clock like I said I will. But I look at my gas gauge and I remember I better stop and get gas before I go home, right? So while I'm getting gas, I bump into somebody I haven't seen for a long time. Right? And I get to talking to him. And I, you know, hey man, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. Hey, by the way, how's Fred? Fred's dead. Fred died a long time ago. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear about that. And we just keep conversing and going, you know, and it's no longer is it 10 after 5 or 12 after 5 or 15 after 5. My wife is thinking, well, my baby's going to be home in 5 more minutes. I'm expecting him. We're going to spend some quiet time together. We're going to have a romantic evening together, just the two of us. So she cooks this great meal. Stay with me now. She puts out our fine china, which we only use on special occasion. She brings out the scented candles. She's been saving them for such a time as this. She lights them because she knows I'm going to be home. I'm so glad live stream didn't hear that. She even builds a fire in the fireplace, turns the lights down low. What is she doing? Now listen. Listen, she is sitting at home with what? Expectation. She's believing that something good's about to happen. Now, don't look at me like I'm an old man. Something good's about to happen. Where am I at? I'm still down at Rhodes 101 asking about Fred. How'd Fred die? It's almost 6 o'clock. Darlene started dinner at 5, had it ready by 5 because I was going to be home right after that. I walk in at 6 p.m. Here's a good chance for all you women to say, good preaching, Pastor. Yeah, so be it. Now we have frozen dinner. Not because the food got cold, but the atmosphere suddenly became freezing cold. Candles are burned down. Fire in the fireplace has gone out. She was expecting me home at 10 after 5, and here it is a quarter after 6, and I come walking through the door like, come on, baby, here I am. Okay. The expectation created a desire that pulled her into the realm, and she began thinking, oh boy, we get to sit down at the dinner table. We get to turn on some soft romantic music. We're going to dim the lights. Baby, lock the door and turn the lights down low. Put some music on that's soft and slow. Baby, we ain't got no place to go. I hope you understand. I've been waiting for this all day long. I never had a feeling quite that strong. You don't know how much it... I'll stop right there. I just revealed my ignorance, didn't I? Who said it's good? Who is that? You did? We'll buy you some hearing aids, dear. Proverbs 13 and 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Some people don't want you praying for them anymore because they prayed one time and it didn't happen. Don't you prophesy over me. I had somebody prophesy over me 5 years ago and it hasn't come to pass yet. Don't you dare speak a word over me. Don't you tell me, thus saith the Lord. You may not have heard that, but it happens up here. Don't tell me it's going to be all right. I know it's not going to be all right. I asked God 6 months ago and it's still not all right. Don't tell me any more promises. Don't preach those kind of sermons anymore. Remember what brother from California said? The moment expectation leaves, backsliding begins. Wow. See, what happens is we're living in the gap. We're living in the gap. Here's where I ask for it. Here's where it comes to pass. But between A and Z, there's B, C, D, E, F, G, right? Amen. And too many people are living in the gap and they're allowing their emotions to control them. Instead of staying in faith, staying in hope, just trusting God and keep speaking the rhema word of God out your mouth. You see, the Bible says, I heard this on Robert Morris this morning, Brother Dan. The word of God, no, was it him? Yeah, I think, no, it was Perry Stone. I was watching him this morning. He said, the Bible says in Ephesians that the word of God is a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. One side of the sword is the word of God. The other side of the sword is your spoken word. When you speak what the word says, it becomes a double-edged sword. See the importance of saying what the word says? See the importance of speaking the word. Amen. Amen. When's it going to happen? I've been waiting 24 hours. I've been waiting 48 hours. I've been waiting for a... Why don't you just be another Job's wife and tell us to curse God and shut up and get out of here? Because it's going to come to pass. I tell you, it's going to come to pass. I think I'll hold on just a little longer. I think I'll just keep the faith. I've got a promise of God over my life. I'm gonna keep speaking that promise over my life. God spoke some things to Darlene and I years ago that we're still waiting for. I'm not giving up. If I take it to the grave, that's all right. I'd rather believe the promises of God than to say, well, it never works. Because if that one don't work, that one might not work. And then that one might not work. And then which one do I believe? By faith, we understand. Am I boring anybody? Okay, good. By faith, we understand. Now, let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, by understanding, we have faith. It does not say, by understanding, we have faith, but it says, by faith, we understand. There's things up here, you know, that if it weren't for faith, I'd never understand some of the things. But by faith, I understand. If you it's not if you understand it, you have faith for it. There's a big difference. Oh, yeah. If you have faith for it, you'll come into understanding. Yeah. Huh? Mm. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit here. And let's go down to, yeah, I like this. God doesn't care how intellectual we are. He doesn't care how many Bible verses you can quote. If it's not showing up in your living room, if it's not showing up on the job, if it's not showing up in the factory, if it's not showing up in the classroom, How many know you can quote so much scripture that you turn people off? You ever been around somebody that just quote scripture, you know, and you think, is he trying to show off or something? Because, you know, I believe in knowing the Word of God, but just to quote, and not live it, you're not living in it, don't waste my time. Amen? I don't care if you can quote the 23rd Psalms backwards. If the Lord is not your shepherd, it doesn't mean anything. Can I hear a so be it? If you never had his rod and staff correct you, you don't really know the shepherd, do you? You really don't know the shepherd. If you're waiting for comprehension before you step out and believe and obey God, it'll never happen. By faith, we understand, Sister Becky. By faith, we understand. Not we understand and step out in faith. Nobody in the Bible understood when God told them what to do. Nobody understood what they were supposed to do. God said it. They said, okay. Noah, build me an ark. Noah said, yes, sir. What's an ark? Huh? God said, it's going to rain. And Noah said, yes, sir. What's rain? He had no understanding. He just believed God. Abraham, you're going to have a child. Yes, God. God, did you forget? I'm 75 years old. You don't understand those things in your mind, do you? And there's a lot of you that you felt like God was leading you and guiding you and asking you to do a certain thing. Maybe God spoke to you and said, give $1,000 for the mission trip. And you think, dear God, I can't give $1,000. How in the world would I get by? God says, by faith we understand. It's not we understand and then have the faith. If you understand it, honey, you don't need the faith. Amen? Carl, it didn't take any faith at all for you to sit in that chair this morning because you knew it was going to hold you. Now, Alex, no, I'm just teasing. No, but it, I love to tease you. Uh-huh. His visage just changes like Nebuchadnezzar. No. But, Carl, it took no faith to sit in that chair because you knew that chair was going to hold you. You understood. So you didn't need faith. But see, by faith we understand. Build me an ark. I'm going to give you a baby. Okay, Lord, I'll say yes to that. That sounds pretty good. I'm 75. My wife's an old woman too. And I'll take that. And so he waits a couple years and nothing happens. And he decides, you know what, I'm starting to doubt this a little bit. And then God says, well, go outside and look at the stars. Can you number the stars? That's how many kids you're going to have. Can you count the sand on the seashore? He gave him a visual to help him keep his faith. And I'm so glad for those little visuals once in a while, aren't you? Those little visions, those little dreams, those little reminders. And then after maybe 10 or 15 years, he says, hey, Sarah, I don't think this thing's going to work. She said, I don't either. Take my handmaiden. Take Hagar and go hang out with her for a while. I'm going to tell you something. That's how you produce Ishmaels. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what's going on in the East, in the Middle East? Ishmael is here to stay. Ishmael's not going anywhere. God gave a promise to Ishmael just like he did to Isaac. But when you get in the flesh and you try to help God out, you will produce an Ishmael and you'll be sorry for it. Amen? Everybody say, by faith. We understand. When Darlene and I got married, 1984, aren't you proud of me? 84, July 16th. I got it in my notes, that's how I know. No, I don't. I know my anniversary. But when we got married, we went from 2 kids to 5 kids. And I was making $125 a week. If you want to do the math, that's a little over $6,000 a year. And we're feeding a family of 5 kids and 2 adults. How are we going to do this? I think we better quit. I think I better go get a job at Burger King and you go get a job selling cheese or something. But you know what? We hung in there. We said, God, you ordained this. You put us together. You established this ministry. I'm not going anywhere till you kick me out. And you know what? God has provided supernaturally ever since day one, hasn't he, babe? Ever since day one. There's been times we've had shortages. There's been times we've had famines. But there's also been a lot of times that we grew during those famines. Did you hear me? We grew during those lack times. Amen? And so we just continued pastoring. My dad pastored in Festus. And he was pastoring there about 3 or 4 years before we got married. He was making over $50,000 a year then. And here I am down here struggling and making $6,000 a year. I wasn't jealous. He had been at the church for 19 years. And God was blessing their ministry and their church. But here I am down here struggling. And, you know, there was times that maybe if we don't tithe this week, maybe we'll have that extra 10% to buy some gas. Can I tell you right now, and there will be a lot of people agree with me, that don't work. I see people nodding, shaking their heads. It does not work that way. If you cheat God out of 10% because your hot water heater went out, you deserve to live in cold water the rest of your life. Because God's not to be cheated. God's not to be robbed. You don't steal from God. And somebody said, well, I give my tithe. No, you return. The tithe belongs to God already. You're returning it to him. You give after you have given back to God, right? So why did I say that? Oh, I know. Because when Darlene and I were struggling, we never quit tithing. We never one time. We trusted God. By faith, we understand that if we'll remain faithful, if we'll keep planting seeds, if we'll keep tithing, that God will open that windows of heaven. Now, I don't know when he's going to open it. And God, it's been a long night, but God is faithful. I'm not going to stop honoring God just because the transmission went out. Amen? I'm not going to stop honoring God just because the hot water heater went out. Amen. Now, that doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but again, say this, by faith, we understand. I've heard this before in the ministry. Well, as soon as my ship comes in, I'll start tithing. As soon as my ship comes in, I'll start tithing. And you haven't even sent a ship out. How are you going to expect your ship to come in? You know, Ecclesiastes says, you cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it'll come back on every wave. Well, you got to throw it out there for it to come back, right? Well, I just went from good preaching to meddling, didn't I? Can I tell you this? Delayed obedience is still disobedience. I'm going to say it one more time. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. You want a scripture proof? Look with me at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Huh? Amen. Abraham said yes. Hallelujah. Sounds like fun. Let's go have a baby. And there was no baby for 25 years. And then suddenly God came on the scene. Darlene, we struggled for years and years and years. Maybe 25 years, I don't know, but we struggled. But you know what? Suddenly God birthed something in us. And I'm here to tell you today, I am the most blessed pastor in the world. I get to go to, Darlene and I get to travel to the Republic of Georgia every year. We now go into Africa every year. We're going to 2 countries a year for missions and ladies conferences. I'm blessed. And you guys are so faithful. You all just keep sending us. Maybe there's a message there, huh? Maybe one of those natives will. I want the worship team to come up. Let's see if we can begin to wind this thing down here. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, we've spent a little bit of time in Hebrews 11 today, but when you read the whole chapter, you're going to begin to find out that those people had a promise that kept pulling them. The promise was pulling them. What's pulling you? What's pulling you? You know, some people are so double-minded. They're this way, then they go back this way, then they go this way. But Sister Fatchett, I thank God for the promises that are pulling us and holding us steadfast and keeping us from sinking in every storm that comes the way. Our anchor. Who said that? You said that. Did you say that? Our anchor is in the Lord. I'm not going to be tossed in every wave and wind that comes along. Amen. Noah built an ark. Yes, sir. Do you know it took him about, I was looking at this. I used to think it took him 100 years, but it's about somebody, I've read several places where it's about 55 to 75 years to build the ark. Now, that's a long time to work on a project and not see a drop of rain. Amen? But let me tell you what happened. His obedience saved humanity. What is your obedience going to do? Your obedience to God, how's it going to pay off? I'm not just interested in it paying off to bless me. I want to see you blessed. My obedience in teaching this message this morning, even though I could have went a different route, my obedience in this teaching today is I want to see you begin to operate in kingdom principles, kingdom law, seeking first his kingdom, putting it in order, putting his kingdom in proper order in our lives. Although I got encouraged by sharing this word, I pray that you got encouraged even more or as much so that we can all grow together in this. Amen? So my word for today is don't give up. You know what? You may be in that gap right now between the amen and the, there it is, right? There's the amen, the end of the prayer. Here's the, there it is. But you know what? That gap sometimes can be so long and lonely. What do? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. We keep encouraging ourselves. We keep speaking the word of God. How did Jesus get rid of the devil on the Mount of Temptation? He spoke the word out of his mouth. And you know what? The devil couldn't take any more than three scriptures. The devil couldn't take any more than three verses. Maybe we need to start saying what the word says, instead of what your body says, or what your bank account says, or what your business says, or what your parents say about you. Amen? Or what your boss says about you. Maybe we need to start saying what God says about us. And my Bible says, I am blessed and highly favored. Come on, let's try that on. I am blessed and highly favored. I'm not going to give up in the gap. In Psalms 105, if you'll turn there, Wesley, Psalms 105, verse 17, 18, and 19. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Look at this next phrase. Until the time that his word came. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. You see, he had a dream. He had a vision, didn't he? I guess it was a dream. And he saw all these corn stalks or whatever, wheat stalks, whatever, bowing down. And he had no idea what that meant. He just went and told his brothers what it was. And they interpreted it to mean, we're going to bow to you. How many of those Martin Luther King had a dream? But you know what? That dream wasn't about him. It was about bringing a nation, righting a nation, turning things around that was wrong in our nation. In the gap between amen and there it is, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what God's going to do. He's going to refine us. He's going to refine us. And I'll tell you what we're going to do from this day forward. Instead of speaking what the situation looks like, we're going to say what the word says. You ought to try it on for size. And don't say it because I said so, but say it because you got a revelation. How are you feeling today? Oh, my back, my foot, my heart, my head, my ears, my neck, my arm, my fingers, my innards. Everything hurts. What does the word of the Lord say? I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm in the gap, right? I'm in the gap. How are you today, brother? Well, I believe that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I believe God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. I said that when I didn't have a penny in my pocket, just a pocket knife. How do you? Everything going good? I believe all is well. That's what my wife said. That's what carried her through her cancer. That's what carried her through her heart condition. All is well. You think we can get a revelation of that this morning? I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that the Spirit of God would open the eyes of our understanding and that we will see what your word says. And we will say what your word says, not what our body says. For God, it's by faith that we understand that it's coming to pass. It matters not what I look like, what I feel like. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. In the gap, Lord, in the gap, you can refine us. You can refine our motivation. In the gap, you help us, Lord, to seek your kingdom in the name of Jesus.